Welcome back, everybody. Every once in a while, you just need to break something. And on this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast, we have created your ultimate break and stuff mixtape. It's coming right up. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, but you can just go right ahead right now, and you can call me... No, do not call me Al.
Spartacus?
You can call me Spartacus!
You can call me Al!
You can call me, just call me Ludini. All my friends call me Ludini. Welcome back, everybody. You want to go to LouLombardiMusic.com to get your free EP, get access to our Inner Circle group, and you get on my email list where I send out all kind of fun emails. Did you guys see my...
I got it. I read the
whole my email
thing.
That I sent? Okay. Like, I finally got you guys on the
I'm
list.
Like, oh, I know that guy.
Yeah, I know that
I didn't
guy.
I didn't get anything like that. So
yeah.
I did, and I'm being serious. Oh. I check my email every day. I have so much junk mail, and I've got nothing
it's
important.
I
sift through, try to unsubscribe, and they're on me, man. There's somebody on me because I get new ones every day.
You have Gmail, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna probably need to change. I have one Gmail and one Comcast.
I don't know which one to send it to, but if it's in your Gmail, look in either the updates or promotion tab, and it's probably in there. But anyways, so you get all kind of cool stuff like that, and so go to LouLombardiMusic.com for that. Want to give a shout out to our good friends at Wolf's Customs. There is no reason, guys, to be going out there doing your Zoom concerts, and pretty soon, hopefully, real concerts, right, Lily?
Yeah,
we got a few real concerts. You've seen a few things. With the same boring looking guitar that everybody else has. So you want to go right here to wolfscustoms.online. Talk to Chris Thunderwolf Dotson. He will hook you up, and you'll be rocking, man. You'll be rocking. You'll be rocking that Fred Durst backwards hat, you know, the whole thing.
Maybe he can hollow flash the hat.
Hollow flash your hat. All right, and Rock Rage Radio. Go to rockrageradio.com, download the app, and you can listen to great guitar-driven rock and all kind of fun stuff. A lot of great talent on there, too.
Other
DJs and stuff like that are very, very cool.
All very different.
Yeah, everybody does something a little bit different. Lily's got her own show on there.
I do have my own show.
Yeah, Hot Licks with Lily Von 6.
Not the Von.
Von?
Just Lily 6.
All right. So you only keep the Vaughn for special occasions.
That's just outside of the radio.
And speaking of Lily V6, we have Lily V6 live in the studio.
Oh, hi. I actually did, since you talked about a show, I did go to a show on Friday. I saw the Complete Sabbath Experience, which was awesome. But I do like to point out that we had our locals Blood Union and Yigga Digga on the show as well, and they were awesome. Fantastic, as always.
Yiggum diggum. And speaking of Yigga Digga, I don't know what that means, but we have Keith the Hawk Hawkins here today. What's going on, Hawk?
What's going on? Nothing. But... soon, something.
I know. Somebody has a birthday coming up, don't they?
Friday is my birthday, and the person that guesses how old I am gets a free... Well, you don't get anything, but you can just, you know, act like you won $1 million. You got the golden ticket, Charlie Bucket.
You're 29.
Again.
I like to celebrate that one over and over again, too.
Sure. Why not? Why the hell not? Anyway, so it's been crazy, and I just think with everything that's happened in the past year and the sort of kind of bumpy start we're off to in 2021, I thought, like, let's do a podcast about, like, songs that you can just smash the whole everything to.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, take all the dishes, guys. When you put this mixtape together, you want to, we put that on, and you smash every dish and cup and glass in the kitchen. Just destroy it. Just smash them. It just feels good. Sometimes you just got to break some stuff.
Yes.
And that's right.
Faces.
Calm down.
Hearts.
So we're going to put together the ultimate mix. I got a whole bunch of them. Lily, Keith does too. And then so what you guys can do, what I would recommend you to do, is create a little playlist on Spotify or YouTube Music or whatever you like. And this is your breaking stuff playlist.
And there it is.
And there you have it.
No. Damn right.
So, okay. So, who wants to start? Lily. Lily will start.
I'll start. I'll do one for, I'm assuming probably mostly for the ladies, but I guess men might think this is a Breaking Stuff song too, but I picked
Tell me it's that song by Gloria Gaynor.
No, it's Violet by Hole. It's written about her relationship with Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins. They speak from the point of view of an angry narrator who has abandoned a romance, and starts out nice and slow, but then it goes into that, you know, really aggressive lyric, and I feel like a lot of women really like that song to break stuff to. It's kind of a thing. So it's a poo-poo relationship. I can relate to that.
There you are. We start off with one for the ladies. And Keith, I know Keith doesn't have one for the ladies. Which one you got, Keith? What do you want to talk about?
I got one that I think just as soon as I hear the opening bell, it sounds like a damn fire alarm going off. But from an old school Primus record, but Too Many Puppies. As soon as I hear Too Many Puppies, I'm ready to tear this place apart. But is that the really restrained? But as soon as you hear Too Many Puppies come in, it's just like that song is relentless from start to finish. Like I said, once again, off the Frizzle Fry album, which is a very early on album for them, but Too Many Puppies is one of my favorite ones to, like, put a hole in a wall or something, too.
This is a
Shoot a gun. Shooting a gun is very therapeutic.
Well, yes, speaking of shooting a gun.
Only at a Target, I'm just saying.
Speaking of shooting.
For that goddamn squirrel in the backyard, that son of a bitch got nothing coming.
You don't have squirrels in New Orleans. You got alligators and lizards.
They're everywhere. They're sons of bitches. They got armadillos, squirrels, freaking possums. What else is there down here? Oh, man.
Keeping my mouth shut.
Bigger crows than anybody I've ever seen. So.
Speaking of shooting a gun, this song has a great refrain. This is a great refrain that say over and over the song. It says, "Let freedom ring with the shotgun blast." And that is, of course, Davidian from the album Burn My Eyes from Machine Head, released in 1994 on Roadrunner Records. The album themes generally tie into social disorder and corresponding inner tension that the band was exposed to in their native Oakland, California, reflected in Rob Flynn's lyrics, such as Los Angeles, Los Angeles riots and the Waco siege. The album shipped over 400,000 copies worldwide, becoming Roadrunner's best-selling debut album until the release of Slipknot's debut. So, yeah, it's a killer song. And there's a great music video to it. Davidian by Machine Head.
Legit.
Too legit.
To quit.
So the next one. So now we're going to go back.
On your list.
There's no MC Hammer on the list. I'm sorry.
No.
Even though he has Hammer in his name.
It's not the same.
So what do you got?
The next one on my list is I've Had It by Black Flag from their Nervous Breakdown album in 79. As you can clearly hear in the lyrics, the song is literally about being fed up with life and authority and everything around you that makes your head spin. You've reached your wit's end out of anger, and I think we've all had those days at work or in life or what have you. And like the song, it says in the song, you're going to explode and just break shit. So, yeah.
Sometimes you gotta.
It's not an aggressive song, but it's definitely meaningful.
It's like a meaningful violence.
Yes.
Speaking of meaningful violence, Keith, what do you got?
I got Domination by Pantera.
Oh, yeah.
That song is one of the heaviest songs. It's a sledgehammer in your freaking face the whole time. But as soon as you get towards the end, one of the ultimate metal riffs of all time sends you into that, into the solo, into the outro, and it's some of the heaviest shit you ever hear. And courtesy of Dimebag and the rest of the boys, Vinnie Paul, Rex and Phil, and that was one badass band in that song. And I think they might be a repeat offender on my list, hint, hint. But that song could cause a lot of destruction. I heard they were playing that song during, like, the Portland riots. They pump it into the streets every day.
Oh.
Really?
That's what goes on.
No, really?
Then at that point, it is, I mean, you got to watch out for what it is. I actually just made this entire thing up, so don't believe me.
And because I was going to ask you if that was the only Pantera song, I will not steal your thunder. So I will zip up. I won't say anything, but yes, yeah, so I was just curious because they got a couple.
I have
really,
one.
They could really.
Yeah, they got that. You could probably do like, I mean, this is a very this is a one of them shows that can come back every once in a while because
there's so many.
This shit is never ending. I mean, you could do a whole show of Brick stuff songs on Pantera alone, to be honest. I mean, yep. Because they got some crushers.
Here's what I want you guys to do. Those of you listening to us live, I sent out an email this week and told a funny story about a guy I played in a band with, and he was a great dude, but sometimes he would lose his shit. And he would break part of the PA, something from the PA system or one of the lights or something, even some of his own gear. And I remember one time just saying to him, dude, like, what's with it? And he said, sometimes, Lou, you just got to break some shit. And then he said, what really sucks is when I break something and I got to rebuy the damn thing. It's like, oh, shit, I got to rebuy. So what I want to ask you guys, have you broken something and went, oh, crap. Yeah, out of anger and go, oh, crap, I got to go buy that damn thing again. Let us know. I'm going to be curious to see if anybody's done it. We'll check over on the Rock Rage Live thing as well. But leave a comment. Be curious. We'll give you a shout out. I'm going to pick one that is a kind of I'm going to pick one. Keith, I want to dedicate this to you, specifically to Hair Metal Hank.
Mm. You know what? That was funny you say that because I think – he's going to make an appearance in 2021. If I can get a hold of him, I think he's in Zimbabwe right now. But if I can get a hold of him,
he's afraid of the COVID. Definitely come on.
He will come on and talk about his next to. I think he's going to. He might hang it up pretty soon. I mean, he's 75 years old, you know. He's kind of like Joe Louis, the boxer. He would just make up an age, you know.
That's awesome.
This is from the album Headhunter, the 7th studio album by the rock band Crocus. And, you know, it had hits like Screaming in the Night, which is the one most people kind of remember from that record. But the song that introduced me to Crocus was not that song. I do not remember what concert show was on. It was on late at night, like midnight came on. And they came out on stage and they played this song first. And it's Eat the Rich. They're Eat the Rich. There's other Eat the Riches.
Oh, yeah.
Aerosmith has an Eat the Rich. Motorhead has an Eat the Rich. But Eat the Rich by Crocus is just this really fierce rock and roll song. Amazing. Like just killer vocal performance. Really aggressive. I love the guy's voice so much. He's like one of these guys that has that like sort of Bon Scott kind of vibe going on when he sings. And it's just kick-ass. His name is Mark Storace. How do you say his name? Storace.
I would say Storace.
Storace. Yeah.
So he's peeing his pants.
I got
over there.
Eat the Rich by Crocus, and Keith is laughing at me. What are you laughing at, brother?
Because you have a fucking Crocus song on your list, but that's over.
Dude, Crocus, come
almost,
on, man.
I almost fell out of the seat a minute ago, but that's, you know, it's. I realized that I probably wouldn't get up, so
I'm not saying I love Crocus, but I was young and impressionable, and I remember hearing that song going like, yeah, it really rocks, and it's just always kind of been one of those like, yeah, songs when I ever came on.
Hey, man, I'm just playing, you know what I mean?
You play 10
Crocus. It wouldn't matter if you had 10 Crocus songs.
Could we pick 10 say. Crocus songs?
Did you like them that much? I couldn't even name 10 Crocus songs. I could have to tell you a few.
Well, they do. They did a version of American Woman, I believe.
Oh, gosh. I
believe they have a remake of that. Screaming in the Night and Eat the Rich. Those are the only Crocus songs I know.
That's all
I have for about. Okay, it's enough about Crocus.
You're right? Done with Crocus.
This is not the Crocus show.
Anybody listening out there, if you can name one more Crocus song, you get a free. I'll make up something. You get a free envelope.
I have.
Send it where you want.
Get a signed, autographed photo of Hair Metal Hank.
By the way,
yes.
Rob Halford does some backing vocals on this album too.
Oh, good to know.
Just one of them things. We're just going to go ahead and throw it out there. So we're going to go throw it back to our good friend Lily V6. What do you got, Lily V6?
I'm going to pick Anarchy in the UK.
Oh, good one.
By the Sex Pistols from Nevermind the Bollocks. Here's the Sex Pistols 76. It was their debut single in 1976. John Lydon described the composition of the song's opening lyrics, explaining that the best rhyme that he could devise for the first line is "I'm an antichrist," with the second line "I'm an anarchist," which doesn't really rhyme, but I mean, sure.
Kissed Christ never was enough for punk rock.
But he likes to tell people that he definitely is not an anarchist, so he likes to throw that out there. But it's basically a statement of self-rule. It's an ultimate independence. It's at a time when kids were feeling like punk wasn't punk anymore. So this was sort of like an anthem for that. And it's definitely an ultimate break stuff song in the true fashion of punk, I think.
Anarchy, but let me just throw a little bit of... Yeah. let me school you on anarchy. Anarchy does not mean without, like, you know, with like no rules or anything.
Right.
All anarchy means without rulers.
Yes.
In very important distinction. Very important distinction. Anarchy without rulers is actually pretty freaking cool.
And it is, but it could get violent.
We should be thinking about that. That's something we might want to consider. And anarchy, if you're thinking without rules, well, no good. But without rulers, yeah, the rulers are the people that screw everything up anyways.
Legit.
So, I love that song. That's very cool. There's been some cool covers of it, too.
I read about who covered it, but gosh, I don't even know now.
Yeah, there's been a lot of covers.
Usually I do like to mention the covers, but I did not do that this time.
So what do we got next, Mr. Hawk?
Monsieur Hawk.
I'm going to go a little, still very heavy, but more industrial. And this one here, every time I hear it to this day, still makes you just want to destroy something. I almost wrecked a freaking car the other day. When I hear, when Head Like a Hole comes on, man, that shit is slamming from the start to finish.
You stole, you thief. You thief.
I mean, great mind thinks alike, you know what I mean? It's just one of them things where it's that song is just, that doesn't give you an adrenaline rush. I mean, I'm not even a huge Nine Inch Nails fan. I mean, I respect the dude for what he's done. And I like his, he's on a lot of movie soundtracks and has some really creative ideas in his soundtracks and things. But there's something about that tune there, man, is killing.
I've never heard that version.
I think it's a great jam. I have it on my list as well, so... let me go ahead and give you guys a little bit of background on it. And by the way, Lily, I'm very disappointed in you. I was going to say it, but I was like, Lily's the Motley Crue expert, and she would say it.
I don't even like their covers.
But Motley Crue does that song too. Head Like a Hole is a song by American industrial rock band Nine Inch Nails, released as the second single from the group's, and this is a great album title. And this would be a great name for a band, Pretty Hate Machine. That'd be a great name
it's
for a band.
It's probably a tribute band for them somewhere.
Yeah, they're probably. Although one of the more rock oriented tracks on the album, many elements of electronic dance music are still featured. The lyrical contents deal with the themes of betrayal, angst, consistent with the rest of the album, and that it comes from. Head Like a Hole is among the band's most famous songs and remains both a critical and fan favorite. So good pick, yeah, Mr. Sure. Hawkins.
That is my
favorite. Yeah, song. Man, that's, you know, I try to give me. Too?
No, that's just one of my favorite songs by them. It's not on my list, though.
Head Like a Hole. Oh, yes. Well, since Keith and I sort of shared that one, go ahead, Lily.
Oh, sure. So the next one on my list is, and I'm going to swear, so get ready for it, Fucking Hostile by Pantera from Vulgar Display of Power, 1992.
That's what I thought, the one Pantera you were going to say, Keith.
But, can we really find a song, like a better song about all the bullshit? But, yeah, probably. There's a ton of songs about bullshit. But this one's definitely blunt and in your face. This one is about lashing out at authority figures. It's about being pissed off in general. It's fast-paced. It's aggressive. And I do think of me lashing out on something or someone when I hear this song and breaking shit, whatever it may be. Whatever, if it's in my way, it's probably going to get busted up when I listen to that song. And right. I do have a story about me breaking stuff later if we want to talk about it when I was angry.
Okay, again, guys, if you've broken something when you were angry that you had to go and buy again because you broke it, let us know. Be interested to hear about it. I'm going to go cliche on you guys.
Word.
Word. Yo, word. Word. Yo, word. I'm going to say, let's talk about We're Not Going to Take It by Twisted Sister.
That's on my list, too.
Great track, song by American band Twisted Sister from their album Stay Hungry. It was first released as a single with You Can't Stop Rock and Roll as the B-side. Remember when there were B-sides?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was super young, but yes.
April 27th, 1984, the Stay Hungry album was released 2 weeks later on May 10th, my birthday, 1984. The single reached to number 21 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles charts, making it Twisted Sister's only top 40 single. The song was ranked number 47 on 100 greatest 80s songs from and number 21 on VH1's 100 greatest one-hit wonders of the 80s. See, I don't think of Twisted Sister as a one-hit wonder because I know You're Gonna Burn in Hell and I Wanna Rock.
I think it's a one-hit wonder to those who only know the song. Like,
yeah,
two
hits. in terms of being on the charts, yeah. I guess. Selling more than 500,000 copies, We're Not Gonna Take It was written by Dee Snider. And Keith, you need to come back. Keith has stepped out. He must need to go get a shot. but great song. Do you want to add anything to that?
I actually want to say that as influences for the song, Dee Snider cites the glam rock band Slade and the Christmas Carol, O Come All You Faithful. Those are his influences for this song. I thought that was hysterical. I didn't explain why.
Wow.
O Come All You Faithful. I get the Slade part. But also in the video, Douglas C. Niedermeyer from Animal House, they use his line, "You're all worthless and weak," which I think is great. And Mark Metcalf, who plays Niedermeyer in the movie, makes an appearance in the video as well. So that's a cool little tidbit for me.
Very classic 80s video.
Yes. Very. It's kind of cheesy, but great. They have all the crazy hair and makeup and, you know, the whole thing, and it's great. I love it.
Yeah.
As I do.
Yeah, kind of like a combination of, like, transvestite war paint. You know what I think they were going for is, what's his name, from Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Oh, Frankenfurter.
Yeah.
Also, I have another little tidbit about that album, Stay Hungry. You know how Dee Snider is the only one on the cover? The reason is Mark Weiss, who I did that interview with, he could not get the other band members to stop drinking or doing drugs to get them all together to get a good photo. He did get photos of the other band, but Dee was the only one ready to go, yeah, and that's why Dee made the cover.
Dee is straight edge. He doesn't drink or do drugs
or
anything like that.
That's why the rest of the band didn't make it on the cover.
He's really big time into fitness and everything. He's an older guy, and he's like in killer shape.
So that was I thought that was a very cool thing.
So we need Hawk to come
back. My mom, Tracy Sampson, has a story to tell.
Okay. Like, yeah, let's hear it.
Oh, okay. Tracy Sampson, I smashed almost a whole set of dishes as I was washing them because my two daughters wouldn't stop arguing. That would be me and my sister Amelia. We were probably beating the crap out of each other or arguing over something super petty like a toy or something. So she doesn't remember if there was music playing. And you want to know why? Because you probably blacked out because you were so mad.
Wow, she gets that mad that she blacks out?
I mean, I do. Oh, so too. I'm sure she does. That's great. Thanks, Mom.
Cool. Okay, so we need Hawk to get back here. Do you want to check Facebook messages and see if there's a situation? Hopefully everything's okay. So I'm gonna go with this song. This song has a lot of angst and anger in it, and there's something about the groove that it's very aggressive and gives you that kind of feeling of like you want to just break stuff. It's not Break Stuff, but it's Sober by the band Tool. The song was released as the first single from their debut studio album Undertow. Guitarist Adam Jones has stated in an interview that the song is about a friend of the band whose artistic expression only comes out when he is under the influence. A lot of people give him shit for that, Jones says. If you become addicted to that and a junkie as well, that's your fault. Sober is one of the earliest songs composed by Maynard James Keenan, with roots dating back to 1987 live performance with his first band, Children of Anachronistic Dynasty, in which the song was called Burn About Out. The song contains some lyrics from the first verse of Sober with the same basic melody, although the melody is considerably faster and has instrumental chorus.
Nice.
So that's a hard driving song, and the way the lyrics are, feels like there's a lot of angst in it, doesn't it? So that is definitely one that you.
I didn't even think of Tool, quite honestly.
Yeah. They've got some anger in their music for sure. So what do you got, Lily?
Next on my list is Back in Black by AC/DC.
Good one.
Their Back in Black album, 1980. This isn't necessarily an aggressive song at all, but the song was written as a tribute to their former singer, Bon Scott, who died in February of 1980. It's very well known for its opening guitar riff. When I hear that riff, it makes me think of me and maybe a group of my friends going to kick some ass in like a slow motion movie version of my life. That's what I think of, and I think of like just you know, smashing stuff with the baseball bat. It's a rock and metal song that appeals to everybody, from dads to dudes to little old ladies, beating noisy kids over the head with their sticks. So that's what I think of that. And that's, like I said, it's not necessarily an aggressive sounding song, but it's definitely a song that I feel like you could break stuff to. In slow motion. In slow motion specifically. For that.
Well, I don't know, man. I think that's a kick-ass tune. I think that you could probably just put a whole AC/DC album on.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
And just...
probably that whole album.
Just go nuts. Or the Highway to Hell is another record.
I almost put If You Want Blood on my list, yeah. But we just talked about that last week, so I'm like, I better just stop overlapping all of that.
That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Okay.
He's not messaging me back.
I don't know what's going on with Keith. Hopefully everything is all right. There's no issues.
I'm wondering if his phone died.
Yeah. This is the guy that does a podcast with his phone, and it's always dead. Here he comes. Here comes the hawk. Here comes the hawk again. Do 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 do. Here comes the hawk. Do 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 do. What you doing, hawk?
There's a ghost in the machine, man. What can I tell you?
You had to go break shit, didn't you?
No, I was gonna go outside and bust somebody's ass. I'll tell you that much.
Uh oh.
Nah, I'm just kidding. No, something happened. Like sometimes it's on my end there. Sometimes the Wi-Fi just like. For like a second, the alarm goes off. Like, and it's weird because it's like, I don't know if it's caused by just, you know, aliens or some sort of glitch in the system, or could be anything.
It's the swamp witch of New Orleans.
There's a glitch in the system.
You can't really expect sometimes much from a town that's built on top of a swamp. That's just how it goes.
So, we rattled off a couple. We talked about Sober by Tool. We talked about Back in Black by AC/DC. What do you got? Help us out, Hawk.
I'm gonna go with Freedom by Rage Against the Machine. The fact is, the song starts out a little bit heavy, then it gets kind of melodic, but towards the end, man, I think I brought that up last week about just the anger in someone's voice, and like the music just kind of just gives you emotion at times where it makes you happy when a happy song makes you sad on a sad song. That song there just makes you pissed off because you're feeling Zach De La Rocha's rage because he's singing about something he truly believes in. And I think it's one of the actually better rave songs, and it's tucked away like at the last track of their first record, but it's, and they did have a video for it and everything, but as soon as that middle part comes into that,
oh no, the swamp witch got him.
The swamp witch got you again, Hawk. You froze. Killing in the Name was on a lot of people's lists. If you do a little research about angry songs, angsty songs, Killing in the Name comes up. But that's a good pick, man. Freedom by Rage Against the Machine. That's our first Rage Against the Machine song of the evening.
I believe so. Surprisingly. Rage, it's in the title.
Yeah, well, who'd have thunk it?
No.
Who'd have thunk it? Lily, tell me something good.
That's a good song, too. The next pick is You're Crazy by Guns N' Roses from Appetite for Destruction, 1987. Literally, what is the one thing women hate being called?
Crazy.
But most often of them in reality are crazy. And this song is about Axl Rose calling the girl crazy because she wants him and she doesn't want his love. She wants his body, aka satisfaction. This one is a little close to my heart because I told a guy once that I wanted him, and this is the song he sent me. And I was driving at the time, and I wanted to put my car through other cars, buildings, what have you. So that's why this one's on my list, and that person knows who it is. It's, and that person's actually up at my house right now.
That's it's nice that you can like admit that.
Yes. Well, no, I know. I know we're crazy. I'm not even gonna hide that.
Lily was talking about You're Crazy by Guns N' Roses. She says this annoys a lot of chicks too, because she said a guy sent her this song
because I wanted him, and I told him I wanted him, and he sent me that song, and I'm like, oh, there it is. And I was driving at the time away from the craft house, ready to like bust up my car and other cars.
Huh. I don't know.
After the Y&T concert?
No,
yes, it was.
No, no.
Wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Y&T. It was a concert like right before
talked
that.
Talked about this situation at that concert.
No, I think it was the concert. No, it was Soulfly, I believe. Okay. I mean, I don't know. He could probably confirm that more than I can, but it was definitely after a craft house show.
Crap. Look, Keith, come on. You skipped a couple, so jump back in there. You mentioned Freedom by Rage Against the Machine. What else you got?
I got The Pretender by the Foo Fighters. I think Dave Grohl in this one really just kind of starts hitting emotion. That song is my favorite Foo Fighters song ever, and it's just a very solid track by them, and I really like just the aggressiveness of it. and the kind of mellow beginning, then it just starts kicking in, and it's a really good, it's a really good rock and roll song, and it's my, like I said, my favorite Foo Fighters song is that one. So that's one that I could probably listen to again and again and again.
All right, cool, man. This song is the one I'm going to pick next. Is I don't really know if it's an angry song per se, but it's got such an amazing groove, and it's got, it's so aggressive, and Bruce Dickinson's vocal performance is so. This is like what. This is one of his like really kind of over the top almost kind of performances, and it's 2 minutes to midnight. It's on the album Power Slave from 1984, just like the Twisted Sister song from 1984, right? It was released as the band's 10th single and first from the album on the 6th of August in 1984. It rose to number 11 on the UK singles chart. Isn't that cool? It was actually a single for them. That's very cool.
Yeah, I knew that.
And number 25 on the Billboard top album charts.
They're getting angry.
The band's first single to exceed 5 minutes in length. It remained their longest until Infinite Dreams in 1989. Just a, it's a protest song about nuclear war. So I guess there would be some anger about that. At the time, if you kids don't remember, that was the biggest thing. Before there was 9/11, before there was the COVID scamdemic and all these, you know, all this Trump and all this stuff, there was the Cold War, and we all thought any minute
we were gonna die.
Any minute, like the you know, the Soviets are gonna send their warheads, and we're gonna retaliate, and that's gonna be the end of the world. We were just ready for it in any minute, and it didn't happen. Thank God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was reading about how it's super close right now. So,
So the song attacks commercialism of war and how it's used to fuel the global economy. Hence, you think military-industrial complex stuff. Rich politicians profit directly from it. Interesting, the guy that everybody hated who didn't want any more wars, they just got rid of. So just put that in your pipe and smoke it. Lily, what do you got?
Well, he's arguing with me right now that it was after the moose, but he's a liar from hell. Anyway.
Lily's having a little lover's quarrel as we have the podcast.
Anyway, the next song is Payback by Slayer from the album God Hates Us All.
I was waiting for a Slayer song.
This is the final track on the album. It's a pretty great ending to the album, like this one. Yeah. The whole album is aggressive about murder, revenge, and some self-control. Topics people can relate to, in my opinion. This one is one of the revenge songs. It displays some raw anger, revenge, and beating the shit out of someone or something, and it brings out anger in people. Or in the metal community, they say it actually relaxes them from being angry and listening, maybe with a combo of breaking things. So, yeah.
So we have so what's going on over there, Keith? I hear a little conversation going on.
There's somebody at the door.
Trick or treaters.
It's not the trick or treaters. Somebody something about a warrant and drugs.
Uh-oh. Run!
I have no idea what they're talking about. Swallow this. Quick, flush it down the toilet.
All right, give us one.
Let me just close my eyes and pick. We'll stay with that. Raining Blood.
Nice.
From A Lacerated Sky. Since we were already on a Slayer kick, and you said it's about time somebody picked the Slayer tune, it could have been a plethora of, you know, Angel of Death. I mean, he could go on and on and on. But that entire album is just one big moshing album. And not a lot of slow jams on on Raining Blood.
Really, it's not like a Getting Busy album that you put on to.
No,
that whole album is like less than, I think it's like 30 some minutes long. The whole album.
That's almost like a punk rock record.
Yeah, for real. It's like speed metal Ramones, you know.
Speed metal Ramones. Maroons, or the Maroons. Either one.
Speed metal Maroons is what I meant to say, right? Ramones. It's Ramones.
Okay, this is not speed metal, but this is pretty speedy stuff. And I'm going to mention, this is a band that I heard, and I heard this song and instantly fell in love with this band. Just like out of all the punk bands from this era, like just some of the most aggressive, for punk, it's heavy even. And that is the Dead Kennedys. I've got Holiday in Cambodia, which is this, you know, it's a political track, you know, about the Khmer Rouge. The record was released by the group on the group's second single, May 1980, with Police Truck as the B-side. The photograph on the front cover of the single was taken from Thammasat University massacre in Thailand, depicting a crowd member beating the hanged corpse of a student protester with a metal chair.
Oh.
Serious stuff. In your face. The song was re-recorded for the band's first album, Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables. The original recording of the song, as well as the B-side, are available on the Rarities album, Give Me Convenience or Give Me Death. The song was written shortly after the genocidal dictatorship of the Khmer Rouge, led by Pol Pot. Hence the chanting at the end, Pol Pot, Pol Pot. And his Communist Party... which is estimated to have been responsible for the deaths of roughly a quarter of the Cambodian population. So just remember, kids, you know, you think communism is all nice.
It's all fun and games.
Go back and listen to the little Holiday in Cambodia by the Dead Kennedys. Great track. Insanely aggressive. And Jello Biafra's vocal performance. I mean, he's one of the most distinctive vocalists in all of music. Just unmistakable. The second he opens his mouth, you know exactly who it is. Love nice. The Dead Kennedys. Lily Von Six.
Next song I'm going to talk about is Going Out Swinging by Motley Crue. It's from Saints of Los Angeles, so it's
good jam.
2008. This is an album that it's not often talked about because it isn't one of their best, according to their fans. But the song Going Out Swinging makes me think that if you're pissed and there's no way out, be pissed all the way and go out swinging. So, and when I mean swinging, I mean swinging with a baseball bat into a china shop or, you know, your kitchen like my mom with her dishes or what have you. And, you know, whatever. It's loosely based on the book The Dirt. Each song is like a mini story and you can plug it into the book. Some of it's funny, some of it's serious and in your face, but this one's definitely one I used to drive in Miami. This is when I first heard the song. I was living in Miami. I was driving along. The traffic was horrible, and I hear this song, and I just like want to like floor it and just go through all this traffic, but it's definitely one of the ones that you can break stuff to.
Okay.
I just remember Miami and in traffic when I would hear this song.
Does anybody know the where the photo came from? That I used for the Facebook events.
So don't worry about it.
No, I do not know.
That's from the video from maybe next time he'll think before he cheats by Carrie Underwood.
That one. I know that song.
Which I thought was a funny.
When she's beating up his truck.
Yeah, she beats up his truck. So that's, you know, it isn't on my list as a song, but
that's
like,
a good photo, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So what do you got? What do you got, Hawk?
Buzz.
Yeah, is that your hot sauce? Hawk's hot sauce. I got a new business for you.
This is my time machine.
Seriously.
Before we run out of time, I just want to go with Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit. I mean, come on. That's the whole reason for that is the only good song Limp Bizkit ever probably read other than Nookie, which is one of my personal faves of guilty pleasures. But Break Stuff is just a song about literally what that is. Just bust shit up. So, I mean, hey, if they did nothing else, they wrote that song at least, so...
I think that it is a really fun song.
Oh,
and
of course.
It's the official Break and Shit song, right?
I mean, I think that's the anthem.
I have the little bio here on it. Break Stuff is a new metal song by American rock band Limp Bizkit, released on May 2nd, 2000 as the fourth and final single from their second studio album, Significant Other. The song was released alongside N2 Gather Now and was remained a staple of Limp Bizkit's live shows. The music video was shot at a skate lab. The band members are seen in some scenes, not playing any instruments. In some scenes, they are playing each other's instruments. Cameos include Snoop Dogg, Jonathan Davis of Korn, Dr. Dre, Eminem, and his daughter Haley, Alec Baldwin, Pauly Shore, Derek Jeter, Roger Daltrey, Bam Margera, Bucky Lasik, Seth Green, Stryker, Riley Hawk, Aaron Lewis, Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, model Lily Ambridge, and comedian Richard Lewis. It received its world premiere in February 2000 on the short-lived USA's Network a music show Farm Club, alongside Korn's video for their single Make Me Bad. Both groups made a guest appearance to introduce their respective videos.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that's a fun video. Like, it's one of those, like, cameo-laden mm-hmm. videos that are super fun to watch. So check it out. It's fun to pick out all the folks in it. Is it my turn? Whose turn is it?
I don't know.
Okay. I think it's your turn.
It's
yeah.
my turn. I'm hitting them all. Okay, here's another one that and this is on a lot of people's lists, but it's a super fun song. Again, it's in that sort of new metal genre. It's Bodies, a song by American rock band Drowning Pool. Also is the lead single from their debut album Sinner, released in May 2001, so a year after Break Stuff. Bodies is Drowning Pool's signature song, and it's been featured in various films, TV programs, advertisements since its release. It was also the theme song for the 2001 WWF SummerSlam pay-per-view event. Remember those things?
Yes.
Now you just stream everything on YouTube. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you don't
as
even
well,
have
the yeah, ECW's brand in 06 to early 2008. During 2001, the song became popular, but the song is taken off radio stations after the September 11th attacks. Gee, I wonder why. It was considered inappropriate. That is a whole podcast right there. Songs that were taken off the radio.
We
because
should
of
honestly do that. Right?
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, there's a whole bunch. So not all of them are like aggressive. Some like leaving on a jet plane.
Yeah.
It was. Early version of Bodies appeared on the EP Pieces of Nothing. The version omits the lyrics in the bridge and features a significantly greater amount of screaming. So check it out. Bodies by Drowning Pool.
Pool.
yeah. Okay, we're 41 minutes in. Let me give you a quick shout out to our sponsors again. Wolfscustoms.online. Get that custom, not blow job, custom paint job on your musical instrument. Although maybe they do custom blow jobs too. I don't
what
know.
What is a custom blow job?
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to go down, man.
And RockRageRadio.com. Download the app. You can. We are on there on Sunday mornings or Sunday at noon, right after church. We see when you're done with Sunday school, come out after church. You can crank us up. And so RockRageRadio.com and go to LouLombardiMusic.com for a bunch of goodies. And it is whose turn?
I don't know.
It's Lily's turn.
All right. It's Lily's turn. Next on my list is Ace of Spades, Motorhead. The reason is it's not really a song about being aggressive or being angry. It's just one of those songs that's super fast, and it's like 2 minutes and 48 seconds where I just want to do some damage. So that's all. Oh, did you write it down?
I circled it because it was the next one I was going to mention.
Oh, sorry.
Let's move on from that one. That's why I was like, yes, wow, she really just said that, because it's rarely that those stars come aligned. So that's why
I know, like, we rarely do that. I mean, it's not an angry song at all, but it makes me want to do stuff.
No, it's just that, like, it's a song that just gets you. I think it's one of the best metal songs ever written, to be honest. But that's like in my metal anthems top 10.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a song that just gets you. Get your blood flowing on that one. That's a good thing.
It's considered like the definitive Motorhead song by everyone except for Lemmy. Lemmy did not like that song. Was not his favorite.
What was his favorite song?
He didn't say what his favorite was. When I was reading all the things about this, he didn't say what his favorite was, but this is not it.
Okay, let's go ahead and give you guys a little bit of a bio on the song. It was initially issued as a 7-inch vinyl single on October 27th of 1980 as a preview to the album Ace of Spades. Kind of leading up to their autumn tour, the song was also released by Bronze Records as a 12-inch vinyl pressing in special Christmas picture sleeves.
Yes,
and there is, if you go to Wikipedia,
it's great.
Look at that picture.
I love it.
Keith, you got to look it up sometime, dude. It's freaking hilarious. The picture of the band in Santa Claus outfits used on the cover was taken at Asbury Fair while the band were on tour. Bronze also issued a German and Spanish 7-inch vinyl records that had different sleeves, as well as the Japanese release. The song opens with an overdriven bass intro played by Lemmy, the one and only, the guy who's the one, I mean, like, really, right? They broke the mold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He had like 7 girlfriends, bang strippers.
One of the rock
drank Jack Daniels like it was water.
And all
he
wanted to do was sit in the rainbow in his shorty shorts and play the casino games.
He
said he used gambling metaphors, mostly cards and dice. When it comes to that sort of thing, I'm more into one-armed bandits, actually. But you can't really sing about spinning fruit and the wheels coming down.
That's great.
On the 6th of September 1980, Lemmy was interviewed by Graham Neal on BBC. Radio show Bomber, Ace of Spades, Love Me, and Like a Reptile were played the following month on the 6th of October. The band played the song on the BBC show Top of the Pops.
Top of the Pops.
Yeah, it was a big, I mean, just really, it was a 13 weeks in the US, on the UK singles charts. Great song. So that covers it for the Ace of Spades, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Lily and Keith, you guys both good with it. Well, I'll tell you what, since you stole Keith's.
I didn't mean to.
Keith, do another one. You got another one? Mr. Walk Around the House?
Hold a minute. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Sometimes I have to go to another room because there's just, you know, there's secret societies in this house that I just can't be a part of.
Is it the Garden Club?
No, it's just it's the club that, you know, you just don't want to really.
Oh, I see.
You don't want to be in that club. To be honest with you, this next one is not even a, it's a pop band, but I think they wrote one of the heaviest songs ever. I think Helter Skelter is a pretty break stuff kind of tune for me. I mean, it's that's one heavy jam compared to, I mean, you figure the rest of their body of work was nowhere near that, but that was like their metal tune. And I think it, to this day, it just, it's heavy and it rocks, man.
Legit, and like now the meaning behind it because of Charles Manson.
Ah, see, you got it, man.
Because I've been reading about Marilyn Manson. Charles Manson now makes that a little more aggressive. So.
Paul McCartney was inspired to write Helter Skelter after reading an interview with The Who's Pete Townsend where he described their September 67 single, I Can See for Miles, as the loudest, rawest, dirtiest song The Who had ever recorded. He said he wrote Helter Skelter to be more raucous.
I like that
word. He wanted a more raucous vocal. He wanted to have the loudest drums, et cetera. And 2 days before the release of The Beatles, also known as the White Album, McCartney gave Radio Luxembourg an exclusive interview in which he commented on several of the album songs. Speaking of Helter Skelter, he said, that came about just because I read an interview of a record which said, and his group really got us wild. There's echo on everything. They're screaming their heads off. And I just remember thinking, oh, it'd be great to do one. Pity they've done it. Must be great. Really screaming record. And then I heard their record, and it was quite straight. And it's very sort of sophisticated. It wasn't rough and screaming and tape echo at all. So I thought, oh, well, we'll do that then. And that was a song called Helter Skelter, which is just a ridiculous song. So we did it like that because I like noise.
That's awesome. I like that. I like that explanation.
That might be the greatest quote from Paul McCartney ever.
It's a good explanation.
We did it like that because I like noise. That's awesome, Keith. Thanks for bringing that up, dude. Good one. Lily.
The last one on my list is Thunder Horse by Death Clock from the album Death Album. Written and recorded by the band prior to the recording of Deathwater, along with two other songs. Better Metal Snake and The Lost Vikings. And these three songs make up the Viking trilogy. The song is the third and final song of the trilogy. There are very few lyrics in the song because they wanted to put the emphasis on the guitars, but the extreme shredding alone gives me the breaking shit feeling. The video for the song was banned for the nudity. It's a cartoon, let's not forget. And also, let's not point out that our hero Nathan Explosion kills off the rest of the band in a gruesome way during the video too. So it was banned for the nudity though. Just the nudity. You can watch it on YouTube if you're old enough.
Give me the nudity, just the nudity. Right. All the nudity all the time.
Give me all the nudity all the time. But it's definitely a very aggressive song. Very little lyrics. I think there's like four words total that they say over and over and over again. It's revenge. It's Thunder Horse. I can't remember what else. But it's super no lyrics, but a lot of the shredding makes it very aggressive and gives you that whole break shit feeling, like I said. So. That's the last one on my list.
I don't know, like, really... what the song so much is, if this song is the content of the song, the lyrics of the song are about anything particularly like violent, but I think it has like, you could definitely smash some shit to this song. And that's It's So Easy by Guns N' Roses.
It's a good one.
According to an interview published in Hit Parader, I loved Hit Parader. In March of 88, It's So Easy is an account of a time Duff McKagan, West Arkeen, and also the rest of the band were kind of going with something that they were going through. They didn't have any money, but they had a lot of hangers and girls that they could basically live off of. Things were just too easy. There's an emptiness. It's so easy. In an Eddie Trunk interview from 06, Axl Rose said that McKeegan and Arkeen originally wrote the song as an acoustic yippee-ya-ya song, and that it was Slash's decision to turn it into a rock song. McKeegan stated that Arkeen taught him about alternate tuning, leading the song to have a more distinctive sound, saying, without open E tuning, that song wouldn't have happened. That's why West has songwriting credit on it. Very interesting. Did not know any of that stuff, but it's a real aggressive song. One of their really kind of fast jamming tunes, and yeah, you could definitely smash some stuff to that song. You got anything else, Hawk?
I'd much rather hear that song than Freaking Sweet Child of Mine.
God, I'm so over that.
I got one of the great metal riffs of all time, but it's a song that, as soon as it comes in, again, it's just relentless from start to finish. It's Repeat Offenders again, A New Level by Pantera.
Nice.
The second track off of Vulgar Display of Power, and it is one of the best riffs of all time. As soon as that shit comes in, I mean, Dimebag's just responsible, guilty, man, of making some badass riffs. I mean, God rest his soul. One of my favorite guitar players, like I said, a lot of guitar player, but I just, some infectious riffs, man. And that and bass lines I pick up on all the time. I'm like, man, that's some nice riffage there.
I like the word riffage.
Riffage.
Yeah, I think that's a word.
It's an industry term.
There you go.
There you are. Things you didn't know that Lily teaches you. So guys, that's a kick-ass playlist. You can easily put that together on YouTube Music or Spotify. Spotify and YouTube Music do not sponsor this show. We're just saying that. The last pick on mine, real quick, just throw it out there. I'm not going to give anything up, is Nazi Punk's Fuck Off by the Dead Kennedys.
I mean, legit.
I'm such a huge Dead Kennedys fan. I had to put two on. But let's run down the list real quick. Holiday in Cambodia, Nazi Punk's Fuck Off, We're Not Going to Take It, Eat the Rich, It's So Easy, Break Stuff, Sober, 2 Minutes to Midnight, Head Like a Hole. I said hole. Bodies, Davidian, Violet, I've Had It, Anarchy in the UK, Fucking Hostile, Back in Black, You're Crazy, Payback, Going Out Swinging, Ace of Spades, Thunder Horse, Too Many Puppies, Domination, Head Like a Hole Again, Back in Black Again, Freedom, The Pretender, Foo Fighters, Rain in Blood, Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit Again, and Helter Skelter by the Beatles. You could totally put that together, man, and then you could just have at it.
I would like to do that. Can we, like, rent out a space?
There you are. So, fun show. Real quick, before we wrap up, I always like to do a little bit of This Day in Music. On this day in 1959, Ritchie Valens, Buddy Holly, and the Big Bopper all appeared at the Surf Ballroom, Clear Lake, Iowa, and it's their last show before they went to that big rock concert in the sky.
That sucks.
I know. And this day in 1967, Jimi Hendrix Experience appeared at Blue Pad Club in Darlington, England, which was part of the Imperial Hotel complex on Grange Road. The show was advertised as "Don't miss this man who is Dylan Clapton and James Brown all in one." That's an interesting description of Jimi Hendrix, isn't it?
That is good, though.
I would say, I didn't know he really had the dance moves like James Brown, but especially with that, you know, that'd be hard with that strat in your hand, but you know, whatever.
The Carpenters started at a 4-week run at number one on the UK album charts on this day in 1974 with Top of the World. 1976, Genesis released Trick of the Tail, their 7th studio album, and the first to feature drummer Phil Collins as full-time lead vocalist. So we talked about the Sex Pistols. On this day in 1979, Sex Pistols bassist Sid Vicious died of a heroin overdose.
Aye.
1989, on this day, George Michael received undisclosed damages in excess of £100,000 from the Sun newspaper over articles printed that stated Michael had gate crashed a party given by Andrew Lloyd Webber and was drunk and abusive.
Andrew Lloyd Webber is such a soft-spoken gentleman.
It doesn't make any sense. On this day in 93, Willie Nelson paid his $9 million in back taxes.
Wow.
That's the way, Willie. Get that out of the way. That way you could have more money for weed.
You were legit.
Oh, this is a good one. This just seems like it was yesterday. This is 2004.
Oh, my God, yeah.
TV network CBS apologized for its broadcast of the American Super Bowl after Janet Jackson was left exposed when Justin Timberlake ripped off her top.
I'm going to say something about that. And I went to my parents to watch that Super Bowl. And as soon as the halftime show came on, I went and showered and I missed the whole thing. And everybody's yelling downstairs. I jumped out of the shower. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? And they told me what happened and I missed the whole thing. I had to see the aftermath later. I was so mad that I didn't see it with everybody else.
quick shout out birthdays. Graham Nash, born on this day in 1942. Alan McKay, guitarist with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Very underrated. You want to talk about underrated guitar players? Great guitar player. Ross Valerie from the band Journey, just recently fired from Journey.
Yeah. Dude,
here's another great bass player, dude. Alfonso Johnson was born on this day. Dude, what is it with just killer musicians?
I don't know. Something about bass players like birthdays on that day, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Robert DeLeo. From Stone Temple Pilots, happy birthday to you. And Stephen Firth, bass player for British band Embrace.
John Spence, from No Doubt.
John Spence from No Doubt. Shakira, born this day in 1977. So there you have it, this day in music from the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
I'm going to interject real quick.
Interject, I like it. Oh, yeah, if we got comments or
something. We got one, and he came on late, Michael Goltz. He needs to smash something. He was at work until about 9:40 and missed this. The song Ride the Lightning from the album of the same name is a great smashing shit song.
I was thinking of a Metallica song, too, and I couldn't remember which one it was. Do you have a Metallica song in your list?
Yeah, I had two, but they were further on the list. I had Master Puppets, Creeping Death. I mean, those songs are pretty... Seek and Destroy, those are all great.
That was it. Seek and Destroy was the song I had on my...
That's my sister's and I nickname, Seek and Destroy.
That's your nickname.
Someone actually dubbed us that one day.
Which one is Seek and which
She's
one is...
She's Seek, I'm Destroy. We were dubbed that one night at a concert. By Dino, who manages the band Neverwake. <He's>... Oh boy, there's an eye.
Oh, crap. Anyways, guys, so that's pretty much it. Go check out wolfscustoms.online. Get some custom paint work on one of your musical instruments, and then you can show off. Go to lulombardimusic.com if you want to find out more about what we've got going on and get access to some cool goodies and downloads and stuff like that. Lily?
I have a show. It's called Hot Licks with Lily 6 on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern on Rock Rage Radio. You can download the free app to your phone or just go to rockrageradio.com and stream it straight from there. Good stuff.
And Keith, you were telling us that you're in a new musical project.
Yeah, it's called Ugly. It's not named after me. The name of the band is Ugly. February 20th, we're actually playing a gig.
Oh, it's congratulations,
man. That's awesome, I have a gig that day.
At the Poorhouse in... Metairie, Louisiana. So yeah,
good for you, man.
Go live.
I don't expect anybody watching to come, but if you're in the area, you know, just.
At least it's
a gig. There's some things going on now where they're like letting loud music start up a little bit, but there's a lot of just funny rules to it that just are sickening.
Yeah, it's trust
just,
me.
They have this whole list of rules about no singing, no chanting, no dancing. I'm like, what the fuck, man?
How our shows are here. You can't dance. You have to sit.
I've never heard some shit like that before.
I was out a few weeks ago at the Craft House and saw like a party band. They were doing like all kinds of 90s pop and stuff.
They have
and
tables down on the dance floor so you can't.
Yeah, and you wanted to get up and boogie, you know what I mean? It was fun. We were drinking. I had Ubered, so I was ready to go. And it was like, you know, but by the end, their people were kind of just
mingling.
Doing it. Yeah,
they
were
kind of doing anything. They kind of said, okay, screw it. We don't care at this point. I don't blame them.
Yeah, I was reading that the other day when they stay open up like a little New Orleans, like, you know, restriction thing. And I was reading it and I was like, that's cool. Music's starting to creep its way back into a freaking city that relies on it. But it's like, I can't believe that they're having these restrictions. It's just, it's kind of funny and pathetic at the same time. So
it's pathetic. Well, I found it like kind of depressing. I'm kind of like, ugh. Like I went out and like, it just seems so this is nothing against Brian's band. They're a very cool, fun party band, but it was just like, what the club, all the restrictions, everything the club had on you. You know what I mean?
It makes it different.
Moving around, and you can only do this, and you had to call ahead and everything, you know, and it was just like, and there was nobody sitting at the bar. Dude, come on.
I know.
I want to sit at the bar.
You know that's where I love to sit, is at the bar.
There's a couple places.
It's just ridiculous, man. I don't know what I don't know what the deal is, the master plan is, but it's not good.
There are places where you can sit at the bar. It's not legal, but they have no restrictions on it. I don't want to say their names on the podcast.
Yeah, let's not talk about. We don't want to get them shut down.
To get them in trouble. But you go in there and people are sitting in the bar and like doing whatever, you know. So.
I know quite a few places like that, but we're not going to tattle.
Yeah, I don't. No. That's not what we want to do here at all. So, all right, guys, check us out next week. You got a minute to hang out, Keith? Because I got a show idea. I want to run by you real quick when we're done.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. All right, guys. And happy birthday to my brother from another mother, Keith Hawk Hawkins. This week he's going to be 29 years old. God
Again.
Bless you. Just a baby. Just a baby.
He's just a baby. That's all. It's just a baby boy. It's just a big, bouncing, bourbon-filled baby boy.
Oh,
bourbon-filled baby boy. All right, man. Hey, you guys have a great rest of the week. We'll catch you all in the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.